Good morning. It's great when you realise you've left your folder at the wrong end. It's great to see you here this morning. Please do take a seat. It falls to me to just spend a few minutes. Apologies, we're running a little bit late this morning. At the 8 o'clock service, my watch wasn't working. At this service, Trevor's watch wasn't working. And we looked at the clock and thought, So apologies, we will try and keep things nice and tight. A couple of things to tell you about. Next week... what's happening next week? Next week is our gift day in the church. If you're on the electoral roll, we'll send you some emails out if we've got your email address about that. But it's an opportunity for us to give back to God some of that blessing which he's given to us and just spend a little bit of time thinking about that if you're a member of this church. And the third thing to tell you about is in 2 weeks' time, Professor Jeremy Begbie is going to be with us. If you've not heard him before, he has been before. He's an amazing musician. He's also a minister and preacher, and will teach theology through his music. So he's going to do a Saturday concert for us on the Saturday evening. There are some leaflets which look like a smaller version of that at the back if you're interested. That's at 7:30 on the 20th of October. And then he'll be speaking again on the Sunday morning. So I do commend that one to you because that's going to be amazing. So bring friends, bring anyone who likes listening to classical or jazz music because he's going to be playing and he's an amazing musician as well as a theologian. So a great opportunity. What next? What next indeed? I was talking to Colin earlier and we were talking about the difference between entertaining and engaging. We're here this morning to engage with each other, to engage with God, to worship God, to praise God, to learn something new from him. I hope that's what you're expecting, because that's what we're hoping to do. And we've got some amazing things happening. We've got all sorts of people helping us. Put your hand up if you're going to be helping us this morning. One, two, here they go. Yeah, yeah, see? We've got all sorts of people helping us this morning, so it's going to be great. We've got a prayer we're going to say first. The words should appear on the screen. There we go. If you do find the screen difficult to see, there should be some printed copies at the back. Do send someone to go and grab you one of those if you want. So let's pray. As we gather together, Lord, help us to concentrate on you. As we put aside the things that distract us, Lord, help us to concentrate on you. As we leave behind the things that worry us, Lord, help us to concentrate on you. As we forget about ourselves, Lord, help us to concentrate on you. As we worship you with songs of praise, Lord, help us to concentrate on you. As we listen to stories from your word, Lord, help us to concentrate on you. As we hear your teaching, Lord, help us to concentrate on you. So, Lord, be with us this morning in the power of your Spirit, that we will hear from you, worship you, and enjoy our time with you this morning. Amen. Now, we are going to be thinking about faith this morning. And in this church, we are planning on taking a big step of faith. Not now, not next week, but in about February time probably. And we're going to try and change around everything that happens on a Sunday morning. There's still going to be a 10:30 service. There's still going to be work with all different groups of children from 0 to 5s through to what they call themselves the youth, which has got an F on the end, I believe, youth. And what we're, as part of doing that, we're sort of mixing groups up and we're looking for more people to help us. So if anybody is interested in being a part of something completely amazing and the way that we provide our teaching, our discipleship, our worship for different age groups, do come and talk to me or Nigel, or who else was on the imagining group? Melissa, Julie, everybody else is denying it, Julie. Talk to one of us, because we would love you to get involved. We are going to give everybody more information nearer the time. It's going to mean we all start together. It's going to mean we've got a chance to all finish together. And it's going to mean that we all get to engage with God in ways appropriate for us. So it's really exciting, and it is a big step of faith, and we're going to hear about big steps of faith. So if you want to be part of a big step of faith, listen this morning, get excited, get engaged with it, and then we're going to do it. Is that all right? Get on with the main act, they say. Thank you, Vicky, for that vote of confidence. So as we come together this morning, the next thing we're going to do is we're going to remember who we are before God. We're going to remember that he came to forgive us our sins if all we'll do is ask. So we're going to do that now. We're going to ask God if he'll forgive our sins.
You have made us to be one family, yet we have divided humanity. Lord, have mercy. You were born a Jew to reconcile all people, yet we have brought disharmony amongst races. Christ, have mercy. You rejoice in our differences, yet we make them a cause of enmity. Lord, have mercy. May Almighty God, who sent his Son into the world to save sinners, bring us his pardon and peace, now and forever. Amen.
So we're going to have our reading now, but I need help from the beavers. And the cubs, do you want to come and help us too? Because there aren't as many beavers as there were on Wednesday night when we were practicing, so we might need a little bit more help. That's it. So if everybody wants to grab the edge of our parachutes, and we're going to use our parachute this morning to help us tell our story. Has everybody got some? So, just move our hazards out of the way. So our story is called Walking on Water. So Jesus was standing at the edge of the lake. He was with his disciples. Jesus told his disciples to get into a boat and go ahead to the other side. So we need to come and stand in the middle and get in our boat. Is everybody in the boat? We all in the boat? Fabulous, we're all in the boat. So then, Jesus went up to the mountainside to pray. So who's going in the middle of them? Who's going in the middle? You get in the middle. Everybody hold it down. Fabulous, we have our mountain. Then the strong wind started blowing and the waters became really rough. Out on the middle of the lake, the disciples in the boat were pulling on the oars. But the wind was against them, and the boat was rocked about by the wind and the waves. When the disciples had rowed 3 or 3.5 miles, Jesus went out to them, walking on the water. When the disciples saw Jesus walking on the water, they were all scared. But Jesus said, "Don't be afraid. It is I. Peter, one of the disciples, said, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. Come to me, Jesus said. Who's our Peter? Are you going to walk on? Are you going to walk on? Fabulous. When Peter saw the wind and the waves, he was afraid and began to sink. Peter cried out, Lord, save me! And immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him and said, Why did you doubt? When they had got back into the boat, all the disciples worshipped Jesus and said, You really are the Son of God. So we're going to make a mushroom with a parachute, and when it's in the air, we're going to shout Jesus. After three, shout Jesus really loud, and everybody can join us. So are we ready when we've made our mushroom? One, two, three, Jesus! I'm sorry, I didn't quite hear. I heard this lot, but I didn't hear anybody else. So shall we have another go? Another chance to make a mushroom. Are you ready? One, two, three, Jesus! Fantastic. Thank you for helping us.
Thank you so much, because what that did was to bring to life that story. Was that brilliant? Did you enjoy that? Did you enjoy it? Did you enjoy it? Yes. It's great. Absolutely brilliant. What we've been doing for the last few weeks is we've been going through some what they call signs in John's Gospel. This is one of them. Sign or something amazing that happened. And this story actually appears in more than one of the Gospels. And just so that we don't get confused, I just want to talk just a little bit about the Bible and how the Bible tells stories. So to do that, I'm going to ask two people a question. You can put your hand up, but you won't get asked because the two people already know who they are. Are you using your own mic? Trev is one of them, and Lois is the other. Because I got a text on Friday. And the text said to me, he broke it. Oh, that's better. It worked fine at the last service, didn't it? I'll use this for a minute. Is this one on? Yep, okay. I'll use this one. So, I got a text from Trev, and it said something about, I know you've got a favourite Indian restaurant in Ipswich. Which one is it? And I might have told him which one it is, the Chennai Dosa. That other restaurants are available, but it is fantastic. So in one sentence, Lois, tell me about your meal last night.
We sat in front of the fire and had a takeaway from Indian Village.
Wasted, wasn't it? Trevor, you tell me about your meal last night in one sentence.
Chicken jalfrezi, absolutely delicious.
Wonderful. Two people who had exactly the same experience of the same meal in the same place, albeit not my favourite restaurant in Ipswich, but two completely different stories. Lois talked about being there in front of the fire. Trevor talked about what he ate.
Of course.
I would probably go Trevor's direction if I was telling you as well. But two different stories for the same event. Now, when we tell stories, we tell them so that people get something out of them, don't we? We usually tell people a story for a reason. And sometimes the way we view the story, the way we tell it, affects how people understand it. Now, anyone who was alive and watching television in the mid-80s may have seen this before. Some of you
are younger than that and won't. We've got a short 29-second advert. Watch this. See what you think. Any minute now. It worked at 8 o'clock.
An event seen from one point of view gives one impression. Seen from another point of view, it gives quite a different impression. But it's only when you get the whole picture you can fully understand what's going on.
Other newspapers are available. Three completely different views of the same story. One where a guy's running away from a car that's got people in it. One where the same guy is running towards an old man and looks like he's attacking him. And a third where you see the guy saving the old man from all sorts of building materials that are going to land on his head and probably kill him. The same story, but seen from different angles, gives you different perspectives and you get a different way of seeing it. We've got a story coming up very soon that's like that. There's this thing, it happens around the 25th of December, I think it is. Do you know what it is? Is it happening this year? Yes. Is it happening for everybody? Anybody? Tell me some of the important things about the Christmas story. What is it? What's about the Christmas story? Tell me some of the key parts that happen in the Christmas story. Come on then.
Jesus don't wait.
Jesus is always a good start.
Any question in church, Jesus is always a good answer. Tell me some of the key parts of the story.
About being happy.
About being happy, okay, yeah. I'm thinking about the Christmas story itself. We'll do it at the crib service. Anybody? Nobody know the Christmas story? Are we going to be doing it for the first time this year? Shout out. There were three kings, they had presents for Jesus. Excellent. Actually, only Matthew tells us about them. There were four Gospels. Only three of them tell us about Christmas, and only Matthew tells us they were kings or wise men. And he tells us about them because it's something about Jesus coming to people who weren't Jews. Okay, who else in the story? What else is in the Christmas story? Herod. Yeah? Herod had it in for Jesus. Any rival? Yeah? Yeah, anybody else in the story? He was part of the king's part of the story, wasn't he? Angels. The angels. Where do the angels come in the story? Shepherds. Matthew didn't tell us about the shepherds. Luke tells us about the shepherds. And that's about Jesus coming to the Jews, to his own people. So Luke's trying to tell that bit of the story. There's one other thing, one other player in the story. Mary, yeah, no. Mary's in all of them. Pardon? Joseph, no, that's not the one I'm after. It's not a person. The donkey. Why is the donkey in the story? The donkey is in the story because we made the donkey up. And we made the donkey up because that's how we understand life to have been 2,000 years ago. And actually, if Mary, heavily pregnant, is going to get from one place to another place that's miles and miles away, she probably would do something like that. She would probably ride on a donkey. So, different reasons why things are in the story. But one person is central to the story, which was Alex's first answer. Jesus is central to the whole story. Now, this story we've just had is told in three Gospels as well. It's told in Matthew, it's told in Mark, it's told in John. And they all tell us a slightly different story. It's the same event, but they tell us from three different angles. And Matthew is the one that tells us about Peter. Who was Peter? Who played Peter? Walking out? Brilliant job. Walking out on the water and then sinking because he took his eyes off Jesus and he looked at all the storm that was going on around him. And what Matthew's trying to say is, keep your eyes on Jesus because he will keep you safe. He is the one that you need to go towards and he will keep you safe walking on the water. Mark is the next gospel that talks about it. He doesn't mention Peter at all. What Mark talks about is how through this event, the disciples, Mark had it in for the disciples. Mark is an interesting, brilliant gospel because the disciples in Mark are very real people who get things wrong. And what Mark says is the disciples really didn't understand what had happened when Jesus fed 5,000 men plus women and children from 5 loaves and 2 fish. They just didn't get it. And through this event, through seeing Jesus walk on the water, they finally started to understand that Jesus was someone completely amazing. John's gospel talks about this in a slightly different way again. And what John is trying to do is say, have faith in the promises that God makes. Because God makes loads and loads of amazing promises. He says, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. I'll never let you down, is what Jesus says. It's what God says. I'll never let you down if you trust in me. And that's what John's gospel is saying to us. It's just like what happened thousands of years ago in the story of Moses. Does anybody remember the story of Moses and what happens in that? What can you remember about Moses? You might have anyone seen Open the Book at school? Is Open the Book amazing? No. Very. Open the Book are always looking for new volunteers. You've done Moses, haven't you? Yeah, and what did Moses do? Give me an event in Moses' life, a really big, amazing event. Pardon? Crossing the Red Sea. I could have primed you for this. Because we talk about Moses crossing the Red Sea and what they did. The Egyptians are behind. There's a sea in front. There's nowhere to go. And Moses stands there and God tells him to do this. He says, go and get your stick. Hold it out and the water will separate and you can walk through the middle on dry land. Just like I could walk down the aisle, but for much, much, much further. And the water will pile up on the left and the right, and you will be able to walk across. Is that amazing? And it happened, and they got through. Now, when Jesus needed to get to the disciples, it would be a bit silly to part the waters, because then Jesus would be down on the floor, and the disciples would be up on a boat somewhere. So he walks across the top of the water, because God changes the reality of the world to let Jesus get to where he needs to be. Now, I don't know about you, but I think I would find it harder to have faith to walk across a bit of dry land with water piled up on that side and water piled up on that side waiting to come crashing down on me. That would make me scared. And I think I would struggle with that. And actually walking on the top of the water feels like an easier one to me because I'm not seeing all this stuff going to fall down on me. I was telling the 8 o'clock congregation, I went to Toronto once, it's brilliant. I went up the CN Tower, I don't know how high it is, hundreds and hundreds of feet up, and there's a glass floor. And round the glass floor were lots of adults and lots of parents peering over to have a look. At the same time, there were a lot of children. They weren't standing around the glass floor. Where do you think they were standing? On the glass floor. But were they standing on the glass floor? Jumping. What do children do when they're on a glass floor? Jump. Show me your best jumping. Go on, jump to it so that you could go through the floor. Because that's what they were doing. Yeah, they were going for it. And They're going to be glasses. They were going for it. They had complete faith that they weren't going to fall through. That's how much faith Jesus had in the sea that he was walking on. He wasn't going to fall through it because he was there and he was doing God's will. And God changed the reality of the world around him. Is that amazing? God changes the reality of the world. Now, there are all sorts of things that we could think about promises that God has made. Do you know the Footprints poem, some of you? Probably older ones. Some have called it the 151st Psalm. It's not a bad description because the Psalms were written by people to God. They're amazing. And Footprints tells us about God carrying us when we're struggling, having faith in him. The faith that we need to have to do the job that God asks us to do is simply to follow him. And if God says, go walk on the water, that's what will happen. It doesn't happen often. Yeah? Don't expect everybody's going to go out down to Felixstowe and wander across to Holland. It's not normal. And in fact, there's another bit on the end of the story in John which makes it even more amazing for me. And I think it's actually more amazing than Jesus walking on the water, because when Jesus got into the boat, they were only a couple of miles offshore. They were nowhere near the other side. But suddenly, as Jesus got in the boat, they were there. They were transported, all of them, the boat, the disciples, Jesus, they were suddenly there. They didn't row the rest of the way. Actually, I find that really amazing. And that is God changing the reality of the world around people to put them in the place that God needs them. Jesus needed to get there. They got there. So, this sort of faith is hard. Yeah, how hard is it? How hard is it to have that sort of faith in Jesus that you can trust his promise? Because his promise is true. His promise won't fail. He says, I will be with you. How do we have the faith to believe that in the times when it's really hard? The times when we need to go somewhere and we don't know how we're going to do it? There's two things I'll tell you that I think might hopefully help. One is, faith is a gift from God. We say it in the baptism service. Faith is the gift of God to his people. He will give you faith. But you have to practice faith. Have you ever been on a high ropes course? I asked the 8 o'clock congregation and they all said, no. I said, have you ever been on a low ropes course? They go, no. Have you ever been on a zip wire? One person said, yes. High ropes? You ever done high ropes? You've got to. It's brilliant. When you go on a high ropes course, you have faith in the rope that's holding you up, the safety line. But to have that faith, most people will step out a little way and just try it. They'll just test it before they really, really trust it. And faith is like that. We practice faith. We try it out. And the other thing we do is we watch other people. I watched all those little kids at the CN Tower jumping on top of the glass. And I might have taken a step out and a step back again. That's enough. Thank you very much. But it was a step.
You didn't jump.
I didn't jump. But in watching other people, in hearing about other people's faith, that can give you confidence. Because if God can do that for them, then surely he can do it for me as well. I've said God changes the world around us. God already has changed the world around you and me. The world changed forever when Jesus came, Jesus died, and Jesus rose again. Because what happened through that was the amazing ability for us to have a relationship with God, to get to talk to him, to know him, to be saved by him, to live forever with him, to have our sins blown away, That's why we did a confession earlier, to say to God, we're sorry. We come back to you. And he takes those sins away because he's already changed the world for you. He can carry on doing that. He will carry on doing that if you only ask. If you've not known God in that way, talk to us this morning. There's an Alpha course just started. I think it's week 2 on Wednesday. So you're not too late. If you want to join the Alpha course and find out more and ask more questions, ask questions about faith, about what it is, about how you can have it. It's not too late. It's 7:30 on Wednesday in the Lantern Room. The other thing, though, that I'm going to challenge you with this morning, if you're a Christian, if you've been following God, or follow God day after day, what are the testimonies? What are the things God has done in your life? What are they? What has he done this last week? I don't mean vaguely. I mean specifics. What has he done? What have you asked him for that he's come through on? Talk about them with each other. When we have a coffee at the end, anyone staying for coffee? Yes? Talk to each other about the things God has done. Over dinner, talk about the things God has done. I'm even going to take a risk here and say, after we've sung the song that we're going to sing in a minute or two, if while we're singing it, it's a song about promises of God being true, about all God's promises are true, and you can land, you can rest on them, you can be absolutely confident in them. If you have a testimony that God says to you, just go tell people about that. Take a step of faith. Come and talk to Trev or me or somebody while we're doing that. I might be busy, but Trev will be here. Others will be here. The prayer team will be around. There you go, prayer team. You didn't know you were coming up early. If you've got something you want to share, I want to give you the opportunity to share it, because testimony is important. Testimony, sharing what God has done, is important because it builds you up, because you're taking a step of faith, and it builds other people up because they think, wow, if God helps that person, maybe he can even help me. So that's what I want to give you the chance to do this morning. Share God's story, because his promise is firm. His promise is unshakable. It will never fail.
Would you like to sit down? I'm going to ask Matt and Polly and Joel if... is there anybody else here that wants to share anything this morning? If so, just make your way up. But here's a faithful promise fulfilled. You can do the introductions.
Church, meet Joel. Joel, meet everybody. Hey. So, Joel is a month old today. And there was a few weeks ago, we didn't even know whether we were going to get to this point. He had a rocky start, to say the least. He threw up blood. He was on a monitor. He had to have a cannula. He had to have antibiotics. He had to be resuscitated. He had to have a lumbar puncture. Like all those things that you wouldn't want to see, in anybody else, but even somebody so small and so fragile. But God has been faithful. God has been so good, and we've had hundreds of people praying for us, and not to mention you guys. And God is good. God answers prayers, even with somebody so small and so fragile. Yeah, God is good. Amen.
I think a cheer or a round of applause. Can I hold it? This is my first cuddle. Should we pray? Father, we want to thank you for this precious life. We want to thank you for Joel. Lord, despite a slightly early delivery and the trauma of those first few days, we thank you now that Joel is safe and well at home. Thank you that he's putting on weight. Lord, we bless you for this little life. And even right now, Lord, we pray, would you come and fill this little one with your Holy Spirit? Would you draw him to yourself in love? And may he not only grow up to be a fine young man, but, Lord, somebody who knows and loves you and brings joy to his parents. Would you bless Matt and Polly? Fill them with your love, with your compassion, with grace. And, Lord, help them in times of difficulty and with little sleep sometimes, Lord, would you give them strength? And as a family, Lord, would you bless them abundantly, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. He's quite comfy here. but I will give him back. He was 5'1" when he was born.
Yeah, he was.
What's he now?
Was he now 6?
He was 6'10"
the other day.
6'10".
So he's doing really well. Really, really well.
Thank you. We're going to continue in our prayer time.
So we have the scouts to share our prayers this morning, and there will be some actions for you all to join in at different parts. So listen, concentrate, and join in.
Jesus calls us to step out onto the water with him, to leave the safety of our boats and to walk toward him in faith. Pretend your hands are feet and start walking them in front of you. Lord, send your Holy Spirit to fill us with courage to step out boldly and give us faith to follow you without fear.
Jesus calls us to join him in the work he is already doing in our world. When things in our lives threaten to overwhelm us, we remember his words, "Don't be afraid, take courage, I am here." Hold your hands in front of you with your palms facing upwards. Heavenly Father, take our lives and our gifts. Use them to accomplish more than we could possibly imagine, so that through us your kingdom might come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Jesus calls us to trust and have faith and to follow where he leads, confident that his love and presence go with us. Use your hands to make glass in front of your eyes. Thank you, Jesus, for your love and provision. Help us keep our eyes fixed on you. Give us your peace and guidance so we can fulfill the great plans you have for us. Amen.
And let's say together the prayer Jesus taught us. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Where's Margaret gone? Because several years ago, someone took a step of faith that they could help kids in the world. And we've been helping them do that every year since. So Margaret and Jackie just wanted to say just a word about that work. We do these and we have faith they go to the right place. What are you doing down there? It's no good being down there. Nobody can see you down there.
Hi, everyone. I'm sure you're like me. Going into the shops now, they're all filling up with Christmas gifts, so it must be time to promote the Samaritan's Purse shoebox appeal. This church has been supporting this appeal for well over 10 years. I don't know the exact number. It just seems like we do it every year. And there's been hundreds and hundreds of boxes donated by everyone here, which is absolutely wonderful. They go to the poorest countries in the world. I'm told they don't actually go to the same areas each year. So it could be, I mean, that they promote that this might be the only gift a child receives. So to them, you know, what we consider to be little bits and pieces is could be the only gift they receive in a whole year. So therefore, if you're interested, I'll be at the back of church, Jackie will and Anne Fox will. Any information you need, most of it is actually all on the leaflet anyway, but we'll be at the back with a couple of sample boxes. They can be returned to church, left in the lantern room, between now and the last day is Remembrance Sunday, which is the 11th of November. So we've got quite a bit of time, several weeks, okay? So if you need any information, please come and see us. And thank you for the time.
Thank you. Have faith. Those boxes will get there. That's an easy way to do it. Not quite. Not quite. You're a little bit ahead because I know Phil has something that he needs to do as well.
Right. Good morning. One of our scouts has achieved and is going to be awarded, although he was, this award was for when he was in Cubs. This is the Chief Scout Silver Award, which is the top award that can be gained in, as a Cub. And this is for the, to show that he has been adventurous, he has helped in his community, has learnt about the world. It also means that he's gained skills, worked in a team and completed all 7 challenge badges and challenge awards that he's had to do. And as well as that, he's had to also achieve 6 activity or stage activity badges as well. So well done, Samuel. Samuel Thorpe, if you'd like to come up. Well done, Samuel, and in salute. Thank you. Well done. Okay, there should have been another award today, but unfortunately, Bev wasn't able to be with us. She was due to get her 25-year service award for being a scout leader, but unfortunately, due to family circumstances, that had to be cancelled at the last moment, and we'll have to get that award in a future time. Thank you.
Will you be having a 25 years and 1 month or 2 month badge prepared for that? Special one.
So just to remind you that if you'd like prayer for anything or like to talk to somebody, there's a prayer team here who would love to pray with you and for you. And to close with the blessing. You are called and loved by God the Father and kept safe by Jesus Christ through the power of the Holy Spirit. Mercy, peace, and love be yours in abundance from God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.